And I thought it very fascinating and interesting that the brain is very soft, and it's meant to be molded by God with His Spirit. So we have the Spirit of man, we have the Spirit of God, we have the workmanship of God working in our minds. Now come back here to Jeremiah 18, and let's see something that is very interesting. This is why when we yield to God, let His Spirit lead us, that something tremendous takes place within our hearts and minds. Jeremiah 18. Now, before we start reading it, what are we made of? Dust of the earth. And the Hebrew even indicates red clay. Keep that in mind as we're reading this. Thus says the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen jar. No, that's 19, verse 18, rather. Chapter 18, it's the New Bible, forgive me. Okay. The word of God came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. He's going to teach him a lesson down there. So I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he was working at the wheel. And you've probably seen some of this on some documentaries where they work the feet, and then they have the spinning table, and he molds a vessel out of clay. And he has to have the right moisture, doesn't he? And if it's a little dry, he puts a little water on it. And if it's a little wet, he sprinkles a little more of the clay powder on it and works it in. Verse 4, and the vessel that he made of clay was ruined in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you even as this potter? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Now let's apply this personally. So are we being created with the character of God through His Spirit today. Through everything that we do, everything that we think, it's not just something that is done in isolation from the way that we live our lives. It's a very part of us because, you see, works begin in the mind. As a matter of fact, a thought is a work. And before you can do anything externally, something has to happen in the mind internally. So if we think of what God is doing with us this way, this helps us understand why it's so important to yield to God, put out sin as the days of unleavened bread have pictured, to put in the righteousness of God. Now let's come back here to Hebrews 10. Now since we're here, let's stop by Proverbs 3 for just a minute. Proverbs 3, because there's something else that is important for us to understand. Under the old covenant, God said that His word would be in your forehead and in your right hand. And here in Proverbs 3, it talks about concerning God's law and so forth. And so this helps answer the question, how can people take aspects of the word of God and improve their character and change their lives and yet not be converted? We'll read it here. Okay? Proverbs 3. My son, forget not my law, verse 1, but let your heart keep my commandments. For they shall add length of days and long life and peace to you. Do not let mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around the neck, your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. See, every time you learn something, it etches into your mind. Now, this has to do with God's law in the letter of the law. And there is benefit for doing it, correct? So this is what we do in a different way than here. This is something of self. You write it. This is like the power, we can say in modern language, the power of positive thinking. Are there results of power of positive thinking? Yes. But does it bring conversion? No. Conversion takes the Spirit of God, and what goes into our minds then, not just what we put in, though we have our part, but what God does when we yield to God. Let's come here to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and let's see what it is. Hebrews 10, it's a different proposition under the new covenant with the Spirit of God. Hebrews 10. Let's pick it up in verse 12. Hebrews 10 and verse 12. But he, that is Christ, after offering one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time he is waiting until his enemies are placed as a footstool under his feet. Revelation 16. Hebrews 10. Now verse 14. For by one offering he has obtained eternal perfection for those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after he had previously said, this is the covenant that I will make with them or establish with them after those days, says the Lord. Now notice the difference between what we read in Proverbs 3 about you writing them on the tablet of your heart. God now with his Spirit is doing the writing on the tablet of your heart, not you. See, you have your part, but with the Spirit of God, he's molding, he is creating, he is building. And in order to do that, he has to get rid of certain things, and he has to add in certain things, and he needs our whole cooperation to do it, which is being led by the Spirit of God. Let's see what he's doing here. I will give my laws into their hearts, and I will inscribe them into their minds. Now, isn't that something? That's the creation that God is doing in our minds. His way, his truth, his love, his laws. Now notice, and their sins and lawlessness I will not remember ever again. So conversion is a tremendous process that is taking place constantly in our minds. And God is the one who is personally molding that character. This is why every day we pray, we start out with our Father, who is in heaven. God gave us direct connection to the Father. Jesus told us on the Passover night that the Father himself personally loves you. He said, don't pray to me that I will pray to the Father. You ask him directly because the Father loves you. So this is a tremendous thing for us to understand, brother. Though we've understood it in the past, we need to also grow in grace and knowledge in this, don't we? So now we're remission of these is, there is no longer necessary, it is no longer necessary to offer sacrifices for sin. Now let's come to Colossians, the third chapter. and see what this process is, which also has to do with the love of God, the faith of God, and the hope of God. Colossians, the third chapter. So here's our goal. Here's our vision. Here's what we constantly look to. Colossians 3 and verse 1. Therefore, if you've been raised together with Christ, because you see, baptism is a death covenant with Christ. You are co-joined to his death. And just as Christ died, you die. And as Paul said, I die daily. So it's a continuous process. If you've been raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life has been hid together with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is manifested, then we shall also be manifested with him in glory. Therefore, now here's the action we need to do. Put to death. And that means get rid of, as I mentioned, by the washing of the water of the Word. Put to death your members which are on the earth. That is, these things within your mind and brain which cause you to be carnal. Sexual immorality, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, among whom you also walked when you were living in these things. But now, you should put off all these things. See, in order for God to put the character in, he needs your help in repentance and in practicing of your thoughts with the Spirit of God to put out the evil that is there. Put off all these things: wrath, indignation, malice, blasphemy, foul language from your mouth. And that's a continuous thing that we do. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you put off the old man together with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is being renewed in knowledge in the spirit of your mind with the Spirit of God, according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. Put on then as the elect of God. See, just like the potter, God is the potter. Put on then, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, deep inner affections and kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. And these are the characteristics that are the characteristics of God. And this is how we develop the mind of Christ. And we'll touch on that here in just a minute. Forbearing one another. In all too many cases, everybody's judging everybody else. Forbear. How long does God put up with us? Forbear. That's why it says in 1 John 5, if you see a brother sin, a sin not unto death, run immediately and tell him what he has done. No. It says pray for him. Sin unto death you don't pray for, because they reject Christ and denounce him. That's the difference. Pray for them. How long does it take some people to overcome? Sometimes a great deal of time. Does God forgive us our sins on a daily basis? Yes. Do we repent on a daily basis? Yes. That's all a part of the work of God. That's our part in God's work within us, you see? And then we put these things into our lives, and this is where the Word of God comes in. When we study the Word of God, now something different happens than just reading a book. It is a spiritual operation between the Spirit-inspired Word of God and God's Spirit within you and your love for God and your heart and mind toward God, and it becomes a continuous, life-changing, and molding experience that God is using to create His character in you. So here's what He says, verse 12. Put on, therefore, see, we're to put off the other. We're to get rid of the other, see. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, deep inner affection, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Everyone expects God to forgive them their sins. But too many are not willing to forgive the sins of others. So forgive. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you should forgive. Now I remember a man who loaned a brother $6,000. The man promised to pay him back. And so after 4 or 5 months, when he hadn't made any payments on it, every Sabbath when he would come in to services, he'd ask him, when are you going to pay me? And he says, I'll get to it. And this began to bother him. Really bother him. And when he would see that brother in church, he'd start getting mad because he hadn't been paid anything. And then one day God's Spirit convicted him when he read Matthew 18. Remember that? The debt that was forgiven. So he came to Sabbath services that week, and he went up to the man and he said, you know that money you owe me? You don't owe me a penny. I forgive it all. And he said it just lifted a burden from his mind, not the one who owed the money, as much as he. Of course, it lifted a burden from the debtor's mind. And you know what happened? God blessed him in his business with double that. So the moral of the story is God's way always works. So forgive. Even if they haven't yet repented to you, always be in an attitude ready to forgive, and in your heart forgive them. And remember this. What did Jesus say when he was dying on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And this is a great and tremendous part of the character that God wants us to have. Because then that helps develop love. And love develops understanding. And that adds to us faith and hope. Now notice, take all of these things in Colossians 3 as a step-by-step process. Now verse 14. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. See, because God is perfecting us. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And that is as you're led by the Holy Spirit of God, you see. To which you are called into one body, and be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And in everything, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That's how we are to live our lives. And notice what this will produce then. This will produce something in us that is of a spiritual character and quality that you cannot have any other way. Let's come to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 22. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, even in spite of disaster. What did it say of Jesus? That he endured the cross, despising the shame, for the joy that was set before him, the final outcome of it, you see. Peace. That'll give you peace of mind. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. But those who are Christ's, see, here's our work, have crucified the flesh with its passions and lusts. And if we live by the Spirit, we should also be walking by the Spirit. And if that's so, we should not become vainglorious, provoking one another and envying one another. Sounds like some of the church meetings we have been to, right? All right, let's come to Philippians, the second chapter. And we'll finish here. Philippians 2. Here's the example of Jesus Christ, and here's what he wants us to do. Here is our example. Paul writes, now if there's any encouragement in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any deep inner affections and compassions, fulfill my joy that you be of the same mind. Isn't that interesting? All being molded with the character of God. And the love of God is the most important. That's why I gave a sermon one time. The greatest tool to overcome is the love of God. Read 1 Corinthians 13. Having the same love, being joined together in soul, minding the one thing, that's the purpose of our calling, to attain to the kingdom of God and rule with Christ. Let nothing be done through contention or vainglory, but in humility, each esteeming the others above himself. Let each one look not only after his own things, but let each one also consider the things of others. And so here is the end result of what God is doing with us. And this is a process that takes place with His Spirit. And it's something we have to let God do. Let this mind be in you. Now that's the ultimate perfection of the molding of our minds by God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And look what he did. The Creator of heaven and earth came in the flesh and died to save his creation, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself and was made in the likeness of men and took the form of a servant or slave. And being found in the manner of man, he humbled himself. And brethren, I don't think we even understand that kind of humility of God. God the Father and Jesus Christ are the most humble beings in the universe. Christ had to be humble to come and do what he did. The Father had to be humble to be willing to send Christ to do it with the risk that it would have been possible he could have failed. But also it shows a great deal of love and faith involved in it too. And became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Now when Paul wrote this, these people understood what that was. Because they could see the Roman executions in their communities by crucifixion. And they could look up and see, yes, there's someone hanging on the cross. And they could remember the Creator God to save his creation. Humbled himself to do that. Now, when you look at it that way, what a shame that so many things are done in vanity and self-importance and things like that. So this is our model. This is our goal. This literally happened. And he was raised from the dead. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and bestowed upon him a name which is above every name. I love this part of it. Because I can think of every atheist and I can think of every God hater and Christ hater and Christian hater. No, one day this will happen. Okay? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of beings in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So when we have vision, we understand and go forward. And we are inspired. And we desire to love God and we desire to love each other. And we desire to follow God as he leads us with his Spirit. So then, my beloved, even as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, molding you, creating in you, exposing the sin within to repent that he can wash it away, that he can build his character in you, so that you can see the greatness and fantastic love that God has. But now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will. He gives you the desire. And to do according to his good pleasure, and that is molding, creating the character within you. Do all things without complaints and disputes, so that you may be blameless and without offense. Innocent children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation. And that sure is true today, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Among whom you shine as lights in the world, and holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, nor labored in vain. And so, brethren, this is how you can, with the Spirit of God, change your brain and change your life so that you have the mind of Christ, so that you develop the character of God, so that you, at the resurrection, will be blameless. You will be perfect. You will be the sons and daughters of God. For our overseas offices, please check our website. www.cbcg.org.